Hey Potters, welcome to episode 121 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Yes, my voice is lower than normal because I just woke up. We are recording this early in the morning.
Woo, party time. She's got sexy voice going on.
Something like that.
As you cough.
I am still waking up. I did not sleep well last night, thanks to Microsoft.
Yay, Microsoft.
Thanks for ruining my crap.
It's what they're good
yesterday
for.
Yesterday was the last day you get the Windows 10 upgrade, and so I tried to upgrade all my machines now that they should have worked out the bugs, and it was the last day you can get it for free. So I upgraded all my machines, and none of them actually responded the same way to the upgrade.
Nope.
It broke my stuff.
It broke your stuffs.
On one computer, it worked just fine. On the other computer, it broke everything. So my third computer is in the process of upgrading right now, so hopefully it's like a happy medium and only breaks one thing.
Maybe like two or three things, but not like everything.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, Val is opting not to do that because then she loses every single bit of her video, audio, and image editing software. And I don't know about you guys, but I make a living doing this stuff. I can't really be without my software. I can wait.
For me, it was free or $300 plus. So yeah. It's like, nope.
You know what I have to say, though, if you only had the one machine and you opted to wait, like, even the upgrade amount is not that expensive. It's relatively cheap.
It's not bad, but since I work with computers for a living, I have multiple of them.
It was kind of like a no-brainer for you.
Yeah, I kind of had to.
It's all
plus,
good.
A lot of the companies for whom I would be working are all migrating to Windows 10.
Ah, yeah, mine is definitely not there. They've got so many different platforms, and they use both Apple and Microsoft, and somehow have to make all that talk to each other. And it was just like, we're not even going to mess with 10. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but you don't work for a tech company. I do.
No, I do not work for a tech company. I work for the exact opposite of a tech company. We don't even have Wi-Fi in our stores.
All right. But getting away from Windows 10, unless, of course, you want to talk about cosplay software.
Ooh, well, hey, you know, we always could. There was somebody talking about the luminescent fabric yesterday on my Facebook feed, and I immediately sent them the Spark Fund saying, look, we've had this for years. See how expensive it is. But other than that.
Well, there's apparently software. Oh, I can't even remember the name of it. I can find it on RPF forums because somebody posted it there. But there's apparently, it's called Marvelous Designer.
Okay.
It's a 3D design tool for clothing and fabrics used in films and video game development for character design.
Cool.
It is nifty looking software. It would be epic for fashion design or cosplay design. The only problem is the price.
Yeah, I bet it's insane. How much?
Let's go take a look. Where is it? Product. Not the overview. I want the pricing.
Yeah, we want to know
there
how much.
It is.
Dingo, you know.
Apparently they used it for the Ted movie because that's the little figure they have on their advertising.
Okay.
So a monthly subscription is $60. An annual subscription is $360. And a one-time fee, if you want to do it permanently, or what they call perpetual, is $550.
You know, if you plan to use it a lot, and it's about on par with video editing software. Because there's some video editing suites that are like $1,200. So, yeah, pricey, but not that bad.
Right.
But still.
It's intended to be for professional use, basically.
Yeah, not the casual cosplayers like us.
Right. So if you want to make your living doing that way.
Hey, there you go. That's one way to do it. And break
but yeah, between that and Armorsmith, which is the armor design software. They're getting better, slowly.
Slowly but surely. It's getting there.
Yep. And Pepakura's getting better, too.
They are, yeah. Hey, speaking of Pepakura, do you want to use that as a segue?
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're supposed to be getting our licenses tomorrow. Yay! So we can give those to the winners for the Infinicon contest.
Awesome.
And I have the final unboxing, or in this case, the unbagging.
The unbagging.
It is, because it came in a bag.
Yeah, they usually ship stuff in bags.
Because I have the tote bag.
Yay! We got a different design this time.
Yes, I did the, you can't really see it on the proof, but it says, instant cosplayer, just add coffee.
Which is accurate for about 95% of us.
And you can see it's kind of a southwestern color scheme. It's got all the reds and browns and oranges.
It's cute.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still in favor of the tote bag carrying stuff around. I know it seems kind of silly to some people, but man, that's an easy way to give people their prizes. Like, you get a bag of stuff. Enjoy.
Plus, they're reusable. Because we do prefer to give people things they can use over and over again, if possible.
Case in point, this is my embroidery bag for Reading Rainbow. It helps. As I shuck it aside and stick it over in the pile of crap.
So this is the last call for Infinicon signups. By the time this releases, we will be at Infinicon.
Yep.
So I apologize, but those of you who see this in a week, signups are over.
But you can still sign up on site?
Yes, you can still sign up on site, provided we release this prior to the contest.
I think we probably will. I think my plan and hope is to get it up at least Friday and just make it public then on YouTube, so it'll all be good.
And we are distinctly aware that we are up against one of the other Dallas comic shows, as well as QuakeCon. We know, guys. And we know that people don't like having to choose between cons. So I would say whatever con you go to, have a fantastic time.
Yeah,
whether
definitely.
It's Infinicon, whether it's comic show, whether it's QuakeCon, whichever you choose to go to, just have a great time no matter what.
And I actually know a number of people who are planning to do either QuakeCon in the morning or the comic book show and then come to Infinicon in the evening. So we may get a lot of people randomly show up for on Saturday. So that would be awesome.
Yep, because Acon and Fan Expo are on the same weekend next year too. Again.
Fan Expo is doing something weird. They're trying it. I think it bit them in the butt this year. I don't know why they're trying to repeat it again.
They're also going up against the new water park.
Yeah. That's going to be a mess. It's going to be... I have a feeling there will be excess security and hotel staff around that water park that entire weekend.
Incidentally, guys, I've seen this a lot on the Acon forums. I know this is kind of tangential, but... there are no photo shoots allowed and no photography allowed at the water park at Acon. This doesn't mean you get to try and sneak photos past the staff. It doesn't notice. Please don't get kicked out because they will remove you if you violate their policies. Not to mention that they can kick Acon too. Please don't get us removed from probably the only hotel left in the city that can actually hold us.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love it when people are like, well, why can't we do the convention center? Why can't we do this? You guys don't understand. Acon is 24/4 programming. Okay? Most convention centers have set hours. The Dallas Convention Center, while it would be big enough for Acon, they have a hard line of closing at like 7 p.m. No content after that. So what are we going to do with 30,000 people at that point?
Plus, you also have to worry about housing them in hotels because the convention center is not connected to a hotel like the Anatole is. You'd actually have to travel to hotels, and a lot of those nearby hotels have opted not to offer Acon any sort of discount deal for getting a room block. So in other words, you'd be paying full price, full stop, notwithstanding what we're paying at the Anatole. Yes, I know. But basically, they're not willing to do any sort of block deal for Acon.
And if you think Anatole parking is bad, you try downtown Dallas. Woo! Ha ha ha.
Especially with construction and accidents, because there aren't too many ways of getting into the convention center. At least the Anatole you can approach from four different sides. The convention center, not really, because there's a bunch of one-way streets. So we know that people don't like some of the Anatole's policies. We get it. But for the sake of the con, please play nice.
please. I really think I just need to talk to marketing staff and be like, hey, can we make like an official post about saying no photos in the water park so we can just nip it in the butt now? Because, yeah, this is just going to keep coming up for every single month until the convention. And even at the convention, it's just like that.
And we know that the water park is very appropriate for photos. It looks pretty.
Yeah.
It looks like it would be great for water-based photo shoots, like free.
Yeah.
We know. We're cosplayers, guys. We get it.
We get it. We're
not downplaying it. Just this is one of those times when you may just have to do a photo shoot outside of the convention. Do a private photo shoot at a different water park. You know, get a group of cosplayers and head over to one of the community natatoriums or go to Hurricane Harbor for a day while it's still open.
Heck,
if somebody has a really nice apartment complex, you can go do it there.
Yeah, right? Or if they have a pool in their backyard. I mean, shoot. Shoot. Ah, that was not intentional. Whoops. I'm punny and I didn't even know it. What I was going to say is also I love that other people are freaking out that, you know, the water park took over the entire back area. We have no place to shoot photos. Dudes, yes, we do. They didn't take over the entire landscape. They only took about half of it. Chill.
It's actually probably only about a third.
Yeah, I think square footage-wise, it's like two-fifths. It's something like ridiculous. It's not exactly half. It's less than that.
Right.
But it's more than a third. I know that.
Yes,
but yeah.
The koi pond is gone.
Yeah.
The koi are in a nice, happy new home. But there is still plenty of Sculpture Park for doing photo shoots.
Good gravy, yes.
And, you know, worst comes to worst, you can always build a PVC pipe frame with a green screen and take it with you out there, and you can later. There's plenty of greenery against which to shoot as well.
Oh, yeah, and a number of photographers will tell you this year they found plenty of locations without having to have access to the Sculpture Garden. So, I mean, you can do it, guys. You can just think a little bit outside the box. It's okay. I promise.
Opened up the Wedding Pagoda area this past year. And
I
saw
noticed.
Multiple people shooting back there.
I
saw people did shoots just slightly outside of the Anatole grounds. They actually traveled not a far distance. They didn't have to go very far. Because I saw photos from the Avatar shoot with Effie.
Mm-hmm.
And those looked really good.
It's just behind the Anatole.
Mm-hmm. Photographers can do some amazing things.
Yeah. No, I totally used that pagoda area for my Dragon Age photo shoot, and it was fantastic. It was perfect. I just had this one little corner, and that's all I needed. If you have a photographer who's willing to think outside the box and doesn't require a whole lot of thinking, you can make some really cool shots happen without having to have this gorgeous background. So it's okay, guys. Chill. Map will come soon.
And you can still go in the water park as long as you're a hotel guest. Up to a certain number. I believe they've posted that on the forums now that you get up to so many passes per room. So if you have more than 4 people in your room, not everybody gets a water park pass. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You can still go, bring your swimsuit, enjoy yourself, get a little bit of sun, have some fun in the pool, relax. And then you can still do your cosplay elsewhere.
Sun is evil. No.
For some people, yes. Yes, it is.
The sun is a nightmare.
Especially in Texas this time of year.
Why did Pokemon Go have to release in the summer? Like, just why? How dare they? They were not very conscious of Texans when they thought of this plan.
Texans or anybody in the Southwest, because it's actually hotter in Vegas than it is here.
Yeah. They suck.
I feel really bad for them.
It really, really sucks.
On to cosplay updates. Because we've been on a really weird tangent this whole time.
We have, but that's okay. This is the 10 a.m. talk. It's coffee talk.
And I basically started cutting out the pieces for one of my costumes. I haven't made too much progress on it, simply because, as you can see in my window, I actually had to finish making curtains so that I can actually reclaim my fabric that was there, that was the placeholder, because this is a really nice knit that I can use for garments rather than curtains. It's because it has a golden dragon prints all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Asian wear, casual wear, so that I can wear it to Akon or to other anime fest like cons in the area, so I can be comfy and fashionable. So I've reclaimed half. I'm now actually working on the second set so I can go reclaim the other piece of this from my room. And then I started using my patterns because I'm working on Umi's casual outfit so I can make my jacket and my anime girl skirt, and I'm going to reuse one of my shirts. And I felt so bad when I looked at this pattern. Apparently I was not conscientious of the sizing when I bought this because I completely bought the wrong size pattern.
Oh no, whoops.
This is a 4 through 12. I am not a 12. According to their sizing, I am an 18.
Jeez.
So, yeah. At least the skirt pattern is something that I can adjust. You can just lengthen it a bit for somebody who is larger, and you just cut out more pleats. The pleats they use in this are so tiny. They're like 1.5-inch pleats that it wouldn't look good on somebody of my size. So I refolded the pattern so that they were 3-inch pleats. Sometimes you just have to make adjustments, kids, to what looks best on you and not what the pattern says.
Right.
These are just guidelines, as they would say in Pirates of the Caribbean. You don't have to follow this to the letter. Eventually, I will purchase the larger version when Simplicity goes on sale again, because I don't feel like paying $20 for this.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
So I will go and get the other one when it comes out. And then, thankfully, the jacket pattern, it's also the wrong size, but this one is a little bit... See, I bought these when I hadn't changed size, so they only usually go up to like 12 or 14. But then again, Simplicity and McCall and such do occasionally change their sizing guidelines, so
yeah,
that even though my measurements are the same, and the measurements are the same on the back of the envelope, the size number associated with them changes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to cut these out. Of course you make a muslin, or you make a mock-up of your pattern to make sure it fits properly, because that's the time to make adjustments, not when you've cut into your final fabric. This is not my final form. Whoops. Ugh. I dropped my pattern. There we go.
No dropping things.
I don't want to have it sit on the ground. I don't like having things sit on the ground unless I absolutely have to. So I will be working on that. I'm supposed to be also working on the for Presera from my Magic Knight Ray Earth group, which we will be talking about later. And I actually thought twice about fixing Presea, because we're going to be talking about later doing niche cosplay.
Something that Amber and I are very familiar with.
Yes. So I may or may not even fix it. I may just treat it as a one-off.
Okay.
I haven't decided yet. I'm going to go and purchase the zipper, because I have to add a zipper to it no matter what at the store today. So I'll be thinking about whether or not I want to redo this simply because of the complete lack of reaction I got.
Mm-hmm.
I was not recognized once. And it was like, ah.
Yeah. The fun of niche cosplays.
Yeah, we'll be chatting about that one later. That's pretty much all I've got for cosplay this week. But at least I've been able to start working on it again when I'm not working on curtains.
And other stuff.
Yeah, I actually need to sit down and source my fabric for Umi, because I know I have some leftover fabric from when I made her original jacket costume. If I have enough of that, I can just use it for the jacket and line it in something else.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'm going to have to wait and get some either twill or suiting fabric when it goes on sale next.
Yay! Because, you know, sales, they happen.
Well, now that Hancock's is permanently closed, which, if you didn't know, Hancock's is gone now. Like, the stores are completely closed down. No more discounts. So now that they're gone, you pretty much either have to go to the Fabric District or you go to Joann's, because Michael's doesn't have very much. And if you get lucky, you can find something at Hobby Lobby. But it's pretty much Joann's now.
Yeah. By the way, Joann's has been in a coupon craze as of late. So sign up for their newsletters. You'll basically get an email every freaking day. They're going bananas on coupons. There's no reason why you should go to Joann's without a coupon in hand at this point.
And if you are willing, Quickly actually started back up with their gift card contests. So if you are willing to allow them to send you some marketing, then you can enter their contests and they'll text you in advance and they'll say, okay, the contest is going to start at this time. And if you are one of the first X number of people, I think it's 4 people to respond or 9, then you get a $500 Joann's gift card. If you're within the first like 10 or 25, you get a $100 gift card. And outside of that, they give you coupons. So if nothing else, you can get coupons that way if you don't want to sign up for their service or if you want to try and get one of their gift cards. Because $100 in Joann's actually can take you pretty darn far.
That's a lot of craft foam.
Or a lot of fabric. Unless you get upholstery fabric.
Yeah, then
and
you're just...
$500 would get you really far. That would be a sewing machine, boys and girls, or a dress form. Or a serger.
I need a serger.
Sorry, Cospod can't help you with that one.
No, it can't. I need like a donate now button like right here just for me. Help me get a serger fund. I would feel really guilty about that afterward, though. So no, don't.
We don't actually need a serger.
No, that's more of like the imaginary want land. No. If there's one thing I absolutely need, I cannot afford this, but I saw this on my feed the other day. I have to have this. It is a Viking embroidery machine that sells for $14,000. It is a workhorse, but oh my God, it is the most beautiful machine I have ever seen in my entire life. You can actually take a tablet and draw your embroidery design on it, and it'll immediately upload it and put it into the machine for you. You don't have to do any type of customizing, no computer programming. You just draw and go. It has been labeled as their most perfect machine ever, and it looks like it.
Should be for the price of a small car.
It is beautiful. I want this machine. Realistically, I can't afford this. I will never be able to afford this, but oh my God. My life would be complete if I have this machine. And like everything on this machine is bigger. So like the table where the embroidery is almost about the size of my crafting table. It is ridiculous. So are the hoops with it. It's like 30 to 50% larger bobbin size. So you never have to worry about running out of thread. It takes up to 6 threads at one time. I'm just like, why did you have to show me this thing I will never be able to afford? How dare you?
I mean, there's a ton of things that are really nice that we can never afford. Especially all those nice 3D printers that will print in ceramic and wood and metal.
Yeah, or in
it's
food.
Like, here, you need a prop? Let me just for you.
Let me just whip this together for you. No problem. It's all good. But yeah, that was just like... tree machine.
That's all I got.
Okay, so cosplay updates on my end then, huh? Yeah. All right, so my past 2 weeks have been a little bit wonky. Even though you can't see it here, this is actually a brand new dress form. I accidentally broke my other one. And it was kind of funny how I did it, too. I was test fitting it for a mock-up that I had made, and I heard something pop. And I was like, well, it sounds like one of the seams popped. No worries. I'll keep fiddling with it. And as I was moving this down the dress form, the top part of it started shifting wildly. And I was like, oh, I must have broken something inside said dress form. Took it apart, and I literally shattered one of the plastic pieces that was along the neckband. And in the process of doing that, I also managed to bend the metal rod that holds up the dress form. Like, I totally, like, totaled it. It was great. I had the dress form for 3 years at that point, and I was like, I'll just buy myself a new one. Because it probably would have been too much of a headache to try to find replacement parts and to get everything fixed again. It was like, it's just cheaper for me to go ahead and buy a new one. And I ended up buying the exact same dress form. So now I have a new one. Yay. That I've already covered with velvet fuzzies. It's awesome. So yeah, you'll notice that I'll be working on this today because I got to redrape a pattern. Go me. So other than waiting on a new dress form to come in, I have been busy making gloves. Yay. Progress. so much progress. And that's pretty much about it. It's been light work. I will admit that I've been kind of lazy lately and playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14. Maybe a little bit of Diablo in there too, because, you know, reasons. And just chilling and not trying to stress out, because, yeah, life's been really rough lately. I just want to drape and sew. That's all I want to do now. That's the plan this weekend, is draping and sewing and working on a wake tomorrow. Yay!
Basically, during the summer, it's really hard to do anything other than sew. This, you can do prop making, but with any machine that puts out heat, you're just adding to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so humid outside during the day. Even if it's just perfectly sunny, the average humidity in Dallas is between 50 and 60%. You can't really cast or paint very much. And it's windy enough that you risk things blowing onto your piece as it dries.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this year in particular, we've been having unusually more humidity than normal. So there are some days where it's kicking up to almost 80 or 90%, and it's just, it's like Atlantic humidity. It's getting pretty gnarly.
You walk outside and your glasses fog up.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me several times this week already. It's been glorious. So I've actually, what I ended up doing was, part of my original design for this costume was I was going to use fabric paint to make this really intricate thing on the bottom. I have opted not to now because of the heat and humidity. It's not going to set properly against velvet. So I'm actually going to be embossing my fabric instead because I'm psychotic.
Yep. And even things like ironing can be undesirable. Let's put it that way. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do, but because I've been doing a lot of ironing and setting with my curtains this week, and it's unpleasant.
Yeah, I've been having to, as silly as it sounds, I've been having to go into my bathroom because it's a cool area that doesn't have a whole lot of humidity, and that's where I've been doing most of my ironing.
Pretty much.
The things we do for cosplay. Yeah,
I should pretty much like be going outside to iron.
I know, right? You'd think that would make the most amount of sense, but man, if I take my velvet out there, I'm going to cry. Something bad happens to it. I do not need destruction of my pretty, pretty velvet.
Yeah, I have a screened-off porch.
You have that luxury. I don't have that. I do not have that, no.
I had to work to put up that screen. Thank you very much.
There was a wasp nest starting to build itself in my patio area. So no, I will not be going out there.
I already had that problem. I took care of that problem.
I took care of that problem too. I don't want to take care of it again because I'm allergic to those suckers. I'm good.
Although, I do apologize to my downstairs neighbors because the nest fell down.
Oh, crap. Whoops.
I couldn't control it when it came down because it was so light and wispy that it kind of floated, and it just floated outside of my grate, so it's not like I could reach out and catch it.
Right? Whoopsie.
Sorry, guys.
Whoopsie doodle. It's all good.
But I had also sprayed the nest, so it should have been inert anyway.
Okay. Well, that's an oopsie.
Wasps get very angry when you spray them.
You know what? Even though I'm allergic to bees as well as wasps, if you don't mess with a bee, they will leave you alone. Wasps are
generally
just angry mofos, like, all the time. You could look at them and they will want to hurt you. So I try to avoid them at all costs.
I avoid all stinging and biting things at all costs. All right. Time for cosplay in the news!
Yay! Here's the funny stuff. Val's found some entertaining articles this week, I must say.
Why don't you introduce these then?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. The first one is fairly simple because San Diego Comic-Con was, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. Oh, hey, it was last week. And there is a lot of fun cosplay that happens at STCC. It is ridiculous. I mean, you don't have to take a whole lot of effort Googling this, just Google San Diego Comic-Con, and the first thing you'll probably see is cosplay. It's as simple as that. So what I wanted to do was share some of my favorites that I saw, and they're really, really awesome. I love them. So hang on. Let me go over to my share screen. I don't think that's the right one. No, you did not go to the right one. There we go. Should be good now. Yay! So, of course, I have to share my favorites, which is Game of Thrones. Yay, and a George R. R. Martin to boot. Not the George R. R. Martin. He wasn't at this one. He was at one 2 years ago, I believe. But I like...
You have to appreciate that he's holding a scythe.
Right? It's so appropriate. And it's just... And even the little I don't know about the little kids being there. Like, they should not know what Game of Thrones is. I'm hoping that it's just their parents dressed them up and they were like, yeah, this looks pretty, Mom. Yeah. Amber is nodding in agreement. But this is also very spoilerific, so I apologize for anybody who has not seen the most recent episode. But yeah. I love Game of Thrones. It's fun. And then this one happened to pop up on my feed yesterday. I was like, what in the crap? But it's Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast.
I knew what it was.
I was like, that is such a cool idea. I love the intricacy among the top, and he used his shoulders to be almost like chandeliers. It's so cute. I love it. I would love to see, like, a Mrs. Potts version of this. How fun would that be? Okay, so then my other favorite one was this Rancor, which is just epic and beyond epic, and he's got a little Luke Skywalker in his hands. They built this in less than a month. And it's just so cool and pretty. And then this is my other favorite. This is from The Revenant, which is that Leonardo DiCaprio movie with him and the bear. And for those who are not aware of this, the man in the bear suit is Adam Savage from Mythbusters. It's comedy at its greatest. And yes, he did make the entire costume himself. And then the last one, which really creeped me out, and I can't believe they made this, it's supposed to be a human version of a Lego man. This is just the mask-making process, but this was the final coat of paint they did onto it. I haven't seen him in the full costume, but this alone is kind of like nightmare fuel. It's really, really creepy, and apparently it creeped out a lot of people at the convention, too. Does not surprise me in the least bit. But if you're interested in seeing more about the build process for this guy, head to tested.com. Between that one, the Rancor, and Adam Savage costume, they actually have a behind-the-scenes look of how those costumes were made and them walking around the SDC floor. So it's really kind of cool to see in person. All right, so stop the screen sharing and the creepiness that is the Lego Man. But yeah, those are just some of my favorites. I just like SDC cosplay. It kind of reminds me of Dragon Con, where people come up with these really crazy ideas and then just make it happen. Or they have these really beautiful garments, and I'm like, I'd like to wear that, but it's also 100 degrees outside, so no thank you.
Well, you have to figure that these cons are probably the most likely place where you're likely to get worldwide attention. Because their media is very, very detail-oriented when they cover these things, and you're most likely to get photos taken that show up in very public places on the internet. So if you're out looking for attention, SDCC, NYCC, and Dragon Con are the place to get it. Even if you're not even in the contest. You don't have to be in the contest.
No, you don't have to be in any type of contest.
You just walk around.
Yeah, you just walk around as that, and people will notice you. It's a guarantee. So yeah. One day I will make it. That's the Mecca. One day I will make it. When they fix their ticketing system. And Amber laughs at me.
I have no desire to sit there and try and game that system.
I think my immense amount of patience that I learned from Final Fantasy XI and camping Notorious Monsters allows me to be on top of that, and it doesn't bother me. I know for some people they just can't stand it, and I get it, but I learned
not only can I can't stand it, but a lot of times those things go off while I'm at work, which means I can't sit there and monitor it, even if I wanted to.
Yep.
So anything that happens while I'm at work, if it requires you to pay close attention, I can't, because I can't guarantee that I have that time to give, or that I'll even be sitting at my desk at that point and not in a meeting. So, unfortunately, I can't do that sort of thing. Or even like when Dragon Con releases their hotels, that happens while I'm at work. I can't. sadly, some things you just end up having to give up for your career.
Woo.
But thankfully, I haven't had to give up cosplay yet, so.
Yeah, no giving up on cosplay. If it gets to that point where work took way more priority than everything else in life, I'd be like, okay, this, no. Work-life balance, that's got to be a thing. All right, so next story. This one's dumb. It's so full of dumb that it's glorious. Like, I almost didn't link this on my blog, but at the same time, I was like, I want people to read how stupid this story is, because it's just that bad, it's great. There's an entertainment website that's called Fox 411. It's kind of an offshoot of Fox News, needless to say. And they wrote a story about cosplay. And the title is, Sexy Cosplays Can Earn $200K a Year. Please, let's sit and think about that statement for just a moment. Because any cosplayer, even the ones that are the most popular and famous and travel around the world, can guarantee that they do not make $200K a year. That's a pipe dream and then some.
Models don't make $200K a year. A senior IT professional does not make 200 grand a year. And IT is one of the best paying industries in the entire career industry fields.
Yep. It's so...
That's half of what the U.S. president makes in a year.
It is so bad. It's just like, where did they come up with this? So, and I found the story behind the story, because I wanted to research this, and I was like, man, I'm just curious to see where they got their quote-unquote facts from, because who they quote in the story, it just makes no sense. The dollar amount they got from a comic book expert named Christian Berenick, who is a comic book writer and publisher, and he's actually helped on a couple of movie sets over the past few years. He's like a 47-year-old guy who's worked with Disney and a couple other people, but he's so like on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to comic book artists. Like, most people don't know who he is. He doesn't even have a Facebook page. He has no social media outlet whatsoever. He's not even a cosplayer. He's never cosplayed before. He just happened to be some guy at San Diego Comic-Con that they talked to who made this comment about sexy cosplayers. And he claims that professional cosplayers can make 5 to 10 grand a show. Dudes, no. I can guarantee you, Yaya Han is not making 5 grand a show. She's maybe, if on a good day from her merchandise booth, maybe that entire weekend, she might be lucky enough to make 800 to a grand. And I'm ballparking that one really high. There's no way. But then it keeps going on. It just gets so much better. Because they talk to Maitland Ward. Most people probably don't know who that name is. I do, because I watched Boy Meets World when I was growing up, and she was one of the random characters that would come in every couple of episodes. She wasn't like one of the main actresses, but she was a big character. And apparently Fox 411 says that she is a very popular cosplay star, because she did a Star Wars costume last year and got a lot of attention for it. By a lot of attention, it means like 300 likes on her Facebook page. And she says that she makes a lot of money, and she sees a lot of money change hands, that cosplayer charge $20 to $30 just for selfies.
I seem to remember the Community having a massive just seizure over people charging for selfies last year. Yeah. And that was when they were trying to charge like $15 for a selfie, let alone $20 or $30.
As far as I know, no professional cosplayer actually charges for selfies. They do it all the time. I don't know where she got this or what she was looking at. She's definitely not popular, because her Facebook fan page, which she recently closed to make a new one, only had 12,000 likes on it. She's not popular by any stretch of the imagination. And while they did actually talk to and interviewed a professional cosplayer, her name is Jenny McQueen, they gave her very straightforward questions, and she only had like 5 responses back for them. And they used one quote from her that was completely taken out of context. It's just a giant messy pile of, they're trying to make it into something that it's really not. And they don't talk about how much work goes into it or how much money it is or how much you have to give up if you really want to be a professional cosplayer. Because let's be real, it's a lot of work.
Not to mention, you certainly don't make $200,000 a year net. Not even gross. And for those who don't know, gross means the amount of money you make before taxes and deductions and everything else. Net is what you make after taxes and deductions and everything else. They don't make anywhere close to that. Otherwise, there would be a ton more people as professional cosplayers. So yeah, it's not $200,000 a year.
No, there is no possible way. Because then you have to think about, okay, so you're not only are you making the costumes and wearing them, you're having to market yourself. You're having to spend a lot of time on social media promoting yourself. You're having to create prints. You're having to go to conventions, sometimes out of pocket. A lot of times conventions don't pay your way. You got to pay for yourself. And then you have your signings, and then you have to teach panels and give presentations. You're helping out with cosplay contests. There's a load of things that go with it, and you are definitely not making $100,000. You're lucky if you're breaking that, if at all.
Plus, you're also having to, because people like to look at other people's bodies, you're having to spend a ton of time maintaining physical fitness.
Yep.
Which usually ends up meaning things like nutritional supplements or getting specialty food for a good diet or having to pay for membership at a special gym, personal trainer, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Jenny McQueen she made a small video in response to the article because she was getting a lot of flack for it. Her name happened to be mentioned and she supplied photos, but the article is not about her. And she basically titled it F you to Fox. And that's exactly what she says. You know, the cosplayers who are making that top tier money, they're having to go through a lot to actually make that amount. It's probably not $200,000. But they're going through all that type of exercising and body modification, and they're having to do X more work to get noticed and to make that money. It's just not something that'll magically happen overnight.
And yeah, the only way a lot of these people get noticed is to have that kind of body, mm-hmm. or to be extraordinarily skilled at what you do, which also takes a lot of money and training.
Yep. Yeah, it's a dumb article that's just really dumb, but it's super funny to read because of how bad it is. And you can't comment on it, and people who have tried commenting on the Fox 411 Facebook page have had their comments deleted. So we're just bashing them on Twitter, because that seems to be the only place that we can actually do it without them having any control over it. Yeah, I'll be sure to link it on the Cosplay page, because it's just bad. You have to read it.
Has anybody shared the article? Because you can comment freely on that.
Yeah, a couple people have shared it, and they've actually, the 411 page has made, every time that it's shared, they've sent in requests on Facebook to have it removed. And so far,
they can request it all they want.
Oh yeah, they can. Some of them have been successful, though, which is kind of like, okay, you can only police your content so much, guys. Like, come on, really? You made a crappy article, own up to it.
Plus, it puts cosplay in a way in a bad light, because then it makes it seem like we're just doing it for the money.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, I'm going to go back to their Facebook page, because the way they titled the article on their Facebook post is different from the article title itself. It was just really condescending too, so hang on a second. I gotta find it. Endless scrolling begins!
They don't have a search function on their page.
Well, it's Facebook. It's faster to scroll, unfortunately. I'm almost there. Because it was after the Miss Cleo post. Oh, here we go. Sexy cosplayers, true fans, or nerd opportunist? Like, seriously? Yep.
Makes it seem like they're doing it for the money.
Exactly. It's like, seriously, people? Like, no.
And then that it's only sexy cosplayers that are apparently making this money. So if you're not sexy, well, screw you.
Right? And then the post before that is Maitland Ward, who is featured in the article, wears only body paint to Comic-Con. Guys, really?
People like to look at other people's bodies. Of course they're going to post these things.
Of course they will. But yeah. I'll make sure to repost it because it's funny to read. it just because it's so bad. And then the last news story, this one is also cosplay related because it's talking about somebody who's dressing up in cosplay. But it's written very well and it's fun. It's a woman who cosplays to work to beat her work's dress code. Because what her normal attire is actually very business casual, very appropriate. It looked nice and clean, but her boss kept commenting on it and had problems with it. So they're in the process of rewriting their dress code guidelines. She decided to have fun with it and decided to cosplay for a couple of weeks to work. So like every day she would have a new outfit. Like she did one from Star Trek. She did one from Star Wars. She has a couple of comic book characters in there. She's got Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. It was all completely within the guidelines, so she could get away with this and have no trouble. It was just really funny. I'll link that one as well.
Which, I will put a caveat on that. Bear in mind that if you're in a right-to-work state, they can fire you for that.
Oh yeah, they can.
So, while she may have shown courage in doing this, do bear in mind that flaunting your company's rules or making it seem like you're making a sarcastic response to those rules to make a point, you run the risk of losing your job. So all I would say is be careful, be mindful if you're going to do this. I understand you want to make a stand, but you also have to take into account that you may be losing your livelihood by doing this.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And hooray for right to work state. Woo-hoo.
Hey, all my comments are my own. They do not represent the company I work for.
They're exactly. Ditto, because I kind of want to keep my job. Thank you. But even so, it seemed like even if that was, you know, the potential for her that she could have lost her job, she seemed okay and comfortable with it. So that's her call. And it's not like she did anything with crazy hair color. Like, her hair colors always look natural. So she made sure she stuck with natural wigs. All of her outfits were her completely covered up, so she wasn't showing cleavage, and it wasn't like, you know, anime bikini busting babe. It was all within normal work guidelines. It's things that make a whole lot of sense. Like the uniforms from Star Trek The Next Generation, those are completely work compliant. I don't see why that would be an issue, but maybe not so much the Vulcaneers, though. That was probably a step too far. Yeah, it's cute. I do that if I have balls.
Some companies are more conservative than others.
Oh gosh, yes. I would love to be with one of those companies that would allow me to go crazy with my hair colors. I've yet to be with one that would allow that.
Just keep in mind, guys, that as much as we all enjoy cosplay, doing it at the workplace, if you have to do things like dyeing your hair, may not be the best of ideas, depending on the company you work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what you need to do within the confines of your HR guidelines. Because we want you to have jobs so that you can continue to get supplies for cosplay. Among other things.
Yeah, no. One needs the other. It's a cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all I have for cosplay in the news. Most of it's really silly. We like silly things.
Well, it's a lot better than drama, drama, drama.
Oh, man, because it just seems to be like all it is. So much drama. Too much drama for your llama.
So, I mean, recently I have seen people who are boycotting conventions because of the guests there. Say, oh, they have certain positions I don't agree with, or they do certain things I don't agree with, or I don't like these people players, and so they boycott the con.
So dumb. You know, you can still go to a convention and never see these guests. You know, that's a thing, right?
It's all good.
Whatever. That's their prerogative. That seems to be the knee-jerk response now, is that they don't like something, we boycott it. I think that's trendy. I'll just stick with my coffee and keep working on my costumes. Thank you very much.
Yep. Because honestly, as a community, we're going to figure out where we're going eventually.
Yeah, we'll figure it out soon enough.
We're undergoing growing pains, I think. Not the terrible twos kind of growing pains, but the middle school into high school growing pains, perhaps.
Yeah, like we're hitting puberty and we just don't really know what to do with ourselves. It's like, do we want to be the goth kid or do we want to be the jock?
And wherever we go, we're bringing drama with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is always angsty, 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 angsty. I'm sorry, cosplayers. Just this is us as a community, and these are only our opinions.
Because we sit on a lot of community groups and forums and stuff, so we see all of it. And we may not comment, but we see it.
And we are considered of the older generation now, even though we're not that old.
No.
We're older now when it comes to cosplay.
Yeah. It's weird. It's almost like we're almost like the millennials of cosplayers, as weird as that sounds. Like, we're in that early part of the generation where we didn't have access to a whole lot. We had maybe one or two tutorials online, but we had to figure it out on our own. But as we've grown up, more cosplay stuff has come out, and we're starting to learn more and see more. And we're like, man, kids today have it so easy. They have access to so much stuff for cosplay. This is great.
But I mean, come on. They're coming up with patterns specifically for cosplayers. They're coming up with materials specifically for cosplayers.
That's really awesome. But then all I hear from the younger crowd is, oh, well, this just isn't the same. It's just not great. Why can't we do this? Blah, blah, blah. They complain about it.
And or they'll get on others for complete pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah. And I'm just like, seriously, guys, come on. We didn't have this stuff 3 years ago. Could we not? Can we not?
We didn't even have surround screenshots a few years ago. We were lucky if we had one or two reference shots.
Right? The costume I'm working on, I am thrilled that there are visible seam lines. Like, I could make this thing to pinpoint accuracy because the screenshots are so darn good. The game designers were smart in how they created this character and their outfits. I'm like, dang, that's a luxury.
I mean, I went back looking for ref shots of Umi's school uniform because that's the one I'm working on right now. I found that was not fan art. And it was a front.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And it wasn't even high res. It was about, I'd say, a sixth of a high res. Which means it's sitting there about that big on my computer screen. And you can't zoom in because it's pixelated.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I get. Because the show is so old that you can't find copies, legal copies, of Magic Knight Rayearth online anywhere. So there aren't screenshots anywhere of this character. I get one, and that's it. Yeah, now you can actually... Now Blizzard gives you full-on reference PDF brochures showing you all the emblems up close and in detail, and you get like six different shots of the person being spun around 360 degrees, and you get all these... You know, here's how we did their hairline, and here's the medallion that's at their neck. It's like, come on, man, you're doing their job for them now. What? What?
It's like where we had to stop at, like, okay, certain points in the video game, or like hit the pause button and be like, somebody get their camera out so we can get this, because we couldn't screenshot anything.
Or your really bad smartphone camera at the time.
Yep. Good times.
Or you'd sit there going through your 80s dub of the anime on your computer, and you'd be sitting there taking screenshots as it... Because that was all you got.
Yep.
That's what I did for Presea, actually. I had to go through, I had to find the episode, and then I had to go and take screenshots every so often. I'd have to replay it three or four times, because I'd have to get that exact moment when it's max zoomed in, and I got what I needed.
Yep.
Nope.
That's what I did for my Cloud of Darkness costume from Dissidia. Was I would play the game, and it actually has modes where you can stop it and take screenshots, which I was thankful for, because there's just the ones they had, the images of her were just front-facing only. You have nothing of her side, nothing of her back. And that was the only way I was able to get images of her, is playing the game, pausing, screenshot. Like, that was it.
Speaking of niche cosplays for random things...
Hey! Segue. We haven't done one of these in a while. Segue. Miss it.
So, the highs and lows of cosplaying as characters from obscure fandoms and or background NPCs or original characters.
Something Amber and I know very, very well.
I've gotten to the point where I almost don't even want to cosplay niche characters unless I really love that anime. It's the only reason I did Presea from Magic Knight Rares, even though I wore it to Akon and I didn't get a single person who knew who I was. Not a single one, because this was actually her twin sister, Sierra, from season 2 of Magic Knight Rares, which made it even more obscure.
Obscure. It's obscure on top of obscure.
And that's why at this point I'm considering, it's like, well, I could just throw all of my effort into Umi, who is much better known from the series, and then just not fix Presea because nobody knows who the heck she is. And I fully admit up front, part of the reason I cosplay is for attention. I don't have to have photos taken. Just recognition is enough. But when you don't get any sort of recognition at all, then one, not only do you feel kind of a little down on your cosplay for all the work you spent on it, and two, you feel old. You know that you're of that generation where only the people of a certain age will even know what anime you're from unless they have re-released that series. I mean, some things are classic enough that everybody kind of knows who it is, like if you did Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
To an extent, you may not know the character's name, but you know what series is from. Or right. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. We know what it's from. So you still get some recognition, but some of these other series that are very specific, especially a lot of the magical girl genres, only a certain group of people would have watched that. So then you're a lot less likely to get recognized. A lot of the old video games were like that, like Breath of Fire.
God, yes.
Only if you were of an age to have had that video game around, would you even know what that's from? Let alone knowing who Ryu or Nina are. So sometimes you kind of have to sit back. It's like, okay, well, do I want the attention or do I want to portray love for this series, knowing that no one's going to get it?
Yep. That's the constant dilemma when you do niche cosplays that I always seem to run into. Because that's my thing, is that I love cosplaying from series and franchises that I absolutely adore. But I don't like being the main characters. Like, to me, the people that draw me in are usually the side characters, the sidekicks, the NPCs, the villains. It's very rare that the main character catches my attention. And I rather cosplay, at least for me, I'd rather be that person that cosplays a character that I love than to just cosplay as something that is well known for the sake of being known. Like, I don't care if people don't recognize me. That doesn't bother me like it used to. I'd just rather be the character that I want to be. And it actually kind of freaks me out when I do pick a popular character like Raven from Teen Titans. Like, the amount of times I was getting stopped for photos still kind of freaks me out. And it just makes me go, okay, this is too much. I need it. No, stop, stop, stop. My wallflower self prefers to do the obscure characters. Because even if I get one person to notice me, then it just makes my entire day. It makes everything happy again. So, you know, maybe that's just me. I don't know.
And bear in mind, there's a continuum, too, of how obscure something is. So you can have something that's really, really, really obscure, that it's an anime that never made it to dubbing. It was only subbed, and that's if you were lucky, out of Japan, that only ran for one season. So you've got these really, really small groups of people who know what it is. And then you've got the extraordinarily popular things like Naruto, where pretty much everybody young and old knows what it is, even if they haven't watched it. They know what it is. So you kind of have this sliding scale of how obscure is it? How long was it out? How popular was it? Did it get dubbed in the US and put up on, say, Cartoon Network's Toonami to where more people saw it? Or even maybe did it get re-released later on as a new series, like, say, Voltron? Or Thundercats, which actually ended up getting re-released. So you've got all these different shows with different qualities to it, so that you've got different generations of people who have seen it and know what it is. It's like Slayers came out in the 90s, but Slayers has also had several incarnations over time. The most recent was still within the last 5 years. So there have been people who have seen it even if they didn't see the original OVAs back in 95. They know who Lena Inverse is, so if I cosplay as her, people know who she is. And the older people will flip out, the younger people just go, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, or my favorite thing to do is also, apparently I pick things from popular like games, like Final Fantasy VII, but I always pick that one character that not many people know or remember. That's always fun to try to explain that to other people too. It's like, yes, I played this one villain from Final Fantasy VII that most of you probably have no idea who she is. Go me! That's my obscurity. I pick popular things, but the non-popular characters.
And you're a lot more likely to get obscurity when it comes to video games and anime, because they're usually specific languages as well. Some video games only came out in Japanese. Like the early Mega Mans.
Yep.
Some of those only came out in Japanese. They did not have English. So those will end up being a lot more niche than, say, popular TV shows like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Those are much less niche. Especially since they've also got supporting documentation like books to go with them that people have read, even if they haven't seen a TV show. So if you've got a lot larger of a media enterprise, then it's harder to find those niche characters, those obscure characters. Unless, of course, you end up wanting to cosplay one of the background characters from those series. I was Woo! Silhouette number 42. And then you can really be obscure.
I was the one guy who had that one line in that one episode. Go me!
You can cosplay Figwit from Lord of the Rings.
There we go.
Figwit isn't even his real name. But they called him that on set because nobody could remember his actual name, which is Lindir. So you can cosplay those really obscure characters from well-known series.
Totally
can. If you feel like it. Just bear in mind that when you do that, be prepared to not get the attention that you may or may not be craving.
Yeah. It just kind of goes hand in hand. You pick something that's obscure or that's a side character. Sometimes even a villain, there are people who just will not care or will not recognize. And it just goes with the territory. I mean, it's one of those things where as a cosplayer, you want to be recognized for your work. And sometimes it's just, you know, people will have no idea who my character is, but they like the costume and they'll say, that's a great costume. What is it from? And that doesn't offend me at all because I realize, yes, I pick something that is incredibly unknown. That's okay. And you'll find a lot of people who do the obscure cosplays feel the exact same way. Don't take offense to that. Don't be butthurt, because I've seen people get butthurt over that. And it's like, okay, you need to understand, you picked something that was obscure, or you made your own original character. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't get butthurt over it. Or next time, choose a costume. If you really want to be that person who gets all the grand attention, you'll have to choose a main character costume. It's as simple as that.
And hilariously, sometimes you can get mistaken for a completely different character from a completely different series anyway.
Even then, yeah. I was hoping this would not happen with my Rosalina costume from Super Mario Brothers. People still thought I was freaking Elsa. And I'm like, what about this says Elsa? I see nothing on here that represents her whatsoever.
And yet, don't get butthurt because people are taking their best guess.
Yep.
Some of them genuinely do not know.
And that's okay. I always keep on the nice smile. I may get cranky about it later and be like, that guy thought I was Elsa again. But I don't get mad about it. I mean, I'm still polite. I'm still kind. It's all good. I think what's funny is that the kids are more likely to get my character right than the adults. Kids know who Rosalina is. Okay, I'm cool with that.
Plus, bear in mind that some of these guys are trying to associate your character with a series they know because they're trying to find that shared fandom between you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to know that there's somebody else who is a fan of that thing, that obscure thing that they are too. Whether or not they get the character right, they're at least...
Yeah. They're putting the effort into it.
They just want a friend.
Yeah. And sometimes that's a great way to make friends. I've made a ton of friends by wearing my Chrono Cross cosplay. I would never expect that in a million years, but we managed to gain a whole lot of new friends who loved the games as they were kids, and they saw my character and they freaked out. So, you know, it's a great way to meet new people who love the same things that you do.
And it may also be a great way of introducing them to your favorite fandom. Mm-hmm. If you wear an elegant costume and they're like, oh, well, what is that from? And you explain what it is and what the series is. And they're like, oh, I'll have to look that up. It's like, okay, I've introduced somebody new to the series. Because usually anime fans are willing to try new things. They're willing to try new series. If you suggest it to them, if it's their genre. So if they ask you about it, you know, please be kind about it. But yeah, feel free to introduce them to it.
It's a good way to make new nerdy friends and get them into new fandoms.
Woo, yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, I have to say, we understand the obscurity thing super well.
So yeah, well. And I'm kind of to the point where it's like, I'm not as into the obscure characters anymore. I do tend to get attached to the main characters anyway. Just, I also tend toward certain types of characters, so that if the main character doesn't suit me, well, then I go obscure. Mm-hmm. Or if everybody else has done one, like everybody's done Umi's Final Armor. I've done Umi's Final Armor. Everybody's done it. Okay, let's do something different now. So you do something different, like the school uniform or some of the art book stuff. If you want to go obscure and be slightly different but still be recognized, go find art books. Go find the art book version of your character, or even commission fan art from an artist that you enjoy. And just make sure that you get permission from them to turn that into a costume. And do give them credit for having done the inspirational fan art behind it. But yeah, you can totally do OG versions of original characters that are still recognizable enough, but obscure enough to be different. Mm-hmm. Art books are a really good way of doing that. Doing a mono versions of things is a really good way of doing that too.
I have no knowledge of that whatsoever. You will be beating for days. And hate life.
Glitter everywhere.
Everywhere. I think I may have overdone that on the sequence just a smidge. But that's okay. The reason is Amano.
And Clamp. Clamp also has a ton of art book variations on most of their main characters.
Once you start with Clamp, you never go back. Because I want to make another one. I'm just like...
I'm actually looking at one of the art book versions of Umi to do. Because it's different. But it's one of the Clamp art book versions of it.
It's like, if you want to go crazy awesome and people have, you know, recognize your character, do Clamp. Or if you just want to be crazy awesome looking, do Sakizo. Yeah. One of those two will make you hate yourself, but you look so beautiful afterwards, you don't care. Sounds like my life in a nutshell. You'll hate yourself, but you'll be beautiful.
And you'll make $200,000 doing it. And with that, we're going to call an end to this episode 121 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay.
Woo!
Here is all of our social media with which you can contact us.
There we go.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, compliments, constructive criticism, whatever you would like to send us, please feel free to send it to us. If you have particular favorite episodes from this year that you would like to see included, which will be coming up shortly.
Very shortly.
Within another few months, because we will have hit the end of 5 years of podcasting now.
Good gravy.
We certainly welcome your suggestions for our end of year montage. Or, of course, if you have favorite moments from those episodes, that's fine too. But otherwise, hopefully we see you guys at Infinicon. If not, we hope you guys have a fantastic time at the Dallas Comic Show or at QuakeCon. And we will see you guys next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.